have an outline for you this evening. I'm not sure why, probably because I'm afraid you'd hold it against me. Because the title of the lesson is the preacher's job description. So many times when brethren are leaving the building, they'll say, "Brian, you aimed that sermon right at me." Or another may say, going out the door, "Who told you?" I know nothing. Just prepare a lesson and present it, and it just happens to fall in line. So tonight I thought, well, you know, people think I preach to them so often, I might turn that around and preach to me, and you get to listen in. The preacher's job description is the lesson. Just going to take it line by line from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Every line as Paul writes to Timothy, he seems to describe what Timothy's work is to will look like as a preacher. I'm looking at this, that sometimes I think it may take a preacher to appreciate the teaching that's found in this text. Because sometimes I think the difficulty in preaching can be experienced in several ways. The difficulty or the concern, first of all, is you want to get the message right. A second concern for someone who stands up and teaches others is that they need to or will want to live up to the standard of the message being taught. In other words, practice what you preach. I think the third concern I would have when you stand before others and preach a lesson from God's Word is you sometimes begin to feel the weight of your own weakness. The trials and the tribulations, and here you are, or I am, telling others how to live their lives. But again, the finger points back at me, too. So we're going to take a look at this text. And people sometimes ask the question, what are preachers supposed to do, or what do preachers do? Well, here's the biblical text that at least gives you an outline, or I title it Preacher's Job Description. It's not that phrase is not here. But I'm going to look at verse 6 first and then go through verses 11 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed." So I want to be a good minister. So what does a good minister look like? And we'll give you the Apostle Paul's definition. So I'm going to pick up his story or his writing in verse 11. It says, "These things," I've had about six different things. You might pick out seven or eight phrases for a job description. But beginning verse 11, "These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love." King James adds the word spirit here, in spirit. "In faith, in purity. Do not, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Wonder, what does a preacher do? "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy, along with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them." Interesting phrase next. "That your progress may be evident to all. Then take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing you will save both yourself and those that hear you." So it's a challenging description for a minister. Saw this years ago when I pulled it out of my folder. Someone wrote to Dear Abby. He said, "One of the toughest tasks a church faces is choosing a good preacher. A member of an official board undergoing this painful process finally lost his patience He just witnessed the preacher selection committee reject an applicant for what he considered some minor fault, real or imagined. So he said it was time for a bit of soul searching on the part of the committee. So he stood up and read this letter purported to be from an applicant. Now here's someone applying for the job of a preacher. Gentlemen, understanding that your pulpit is vacant, I should like to apply for the position. I have many qualifications. Been a preacher with much success and also have had some success as a writer. Some say I'm a good organizer. Been a leader in most places I've been. I'm over 50 years of age. Never preached in one place more than 3 years. In some places, I've left town after my work caused riots and disturbances. I must admit I've been in jail 3 or 4 times. But not because of any real wrongdoing. My health is not too good, though I still accomplish a great deal. The churches I preached in have been small, though located in several large cities. I've not gotten along well with religious leaders in the towns where I've preached. In fact, some have threatened me, even attacked me physically. Not too good at keeping records. Been known to forget whom I baptized. However, if you can use me, I promise to do my best. Well, the board member finished reading the letter and turned to the committee and said, well, what do you think? Shall we call him? The good church folks were appalled. Consider a sickly, troublemaking, absent-minded ex-jailbird? Are the board members crazy? Who signed that application? Who had such colossal nerve? Of course, you're already ahead of me on that. The board member eyed them all keenly before he replied. He says it's signed the Apostle Paul. Some congregations wouldn't even want Paul to preach for them. Timothy is the preacher for the congregation in Ephesus. It seems like when Paul writes this letter to him that Timothy is discouraged, and Paul is writing this letter to encourage him, to cheer him up in that particular work as the preacher, the local minister. So it's the elder preacher Paul writing to young Timothy about the work. In verse 10, before we get to the actual qualifications or description, in verse 10, Paul reminds Timothy that in this work we labor and strive. Some translations will say suffer reproach. Labor, ministry, the preaching ministry is a labor, meaning, I look up the definition in Vine's dictionary of expository, you know, Greek words. Defined as toil, work, indicates that preaching is laborious or a labor. Then we labor and strive or suffer reproach. By definition, dictionary definition, it's agonizing, depicting a struggle, strain toward a goal, effort that's put forth to accomplish the work. Why would anybody want to be a minister? A preaching minister, it's a labor and strive. But verse 10, Paul says, because. Why would someone want to be a preaching minister? Because, still in verse 10, we trust, or another translation says, have fixed our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. So we preach because our hope is in the expectation of salvation, which God has promised. That's in verse 10. We preach because we serve a living God and not a dead idol or a block of wood. So we preach. Then Paul begins in verse 11, line upon line, in giving what I would call a job description. Number one, in verse 11, these things command and teach. So the preacher is to command and teach certain things. Perhaps he's referring to everything that Paul is writing to Timothy in the letter, for all these soul-saving words. So these are the things I want you to command. It comes from a term that means, and again, W. Vine gives this definition: to pass the word or orders along the line. As a military order moving down the line from high-ranking officers through lower ranks until it reaches everyone. So you command. It means to order or charge, to prescribe. And some of your translations will use the word prescribe. So these things prescribe or command and teach. You teach, you instruct, you explain, you give the understanding. Train is one of the definitions. Disciple. So you gain followers to the message that you're preaching. So these things, command and teach. So there's the first description of a preacher's work. Command and teach these things that Paul has written. Second, verse 12, I like this one. Let no man despise your youth. My youth. Or look down upon your youth. Of course, I've passed that. But Timothy, no doubt, is the young minister, but still, for me, Brian, be an example. If you're an example, the job description means that you provide a pattern to follow, you provide a model, you set the proper standard, you exemplify the message that's being taught. You be an example in. So here's the pattern that you are on to display. In word or speech in some of the translations. So that means that it has reference to the personal conversation. It needs to be gracious. In conduct, need to behave myself. People tell me that all the time. It has reference to the way you live your life. Be an example in speech and in conduct. In love, so you love by definition, in general, you say and do those things that benefit another. If you love someone, you say and do things that are beneficial to them, whatever that relationship is. That would include the commandments of love God and love your neighbor, which are the first and second great commandments. Love, and then the next, be an example in spirit, and again, this is not in every translation, but I would summarize this as being an attitude and enthusiasm for life in Christ Jesus. You need to be an example in that. What you want your brethren to do, you need to exemplify. In faith, means you demonstrate, or I need to demonstrate, trust and confidence in God and in His Word. Faith, by when I think of it, is not just believing that God can, but you believe that God will. That's your faith and mine. We all say, oh, God can do anything. But will God do it? That's faith. Not that God can, but that God will. In purity, so good morals, law-abiding, discreet. So second job description I have here was just let no one despise your youth. Be an example. Number three is in verse 13. Give attention. Means, Brian, there's certain, as a preaching minister, there's certain things you need to focus on, give attention to take heed to, deliberate, devote, or emphasize. Give it attention. Not just a casual glance, not just a look-see, no. Focus to reading. And definition in the context here, it has perhaps has more reference to the public reading of Scripture, or as reading was done in the synagogue. When Jesus goes, the apostles, they stand up to read. So Paul is telling Timothy, and in my job description, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Give attention, focus on exhortation. If you exhort, you encourage listeners to adhere or do what is heard in the reading. Give attention to teaching. Give attention, job description, to teaching. In other words, be sure you communicate that message correctly. And that involves, that means that the one who stands here would involve themselves give attention to themselves in study, research, in delivering, presenting material accurately. You give attention to that. That's in the job description. What do preachers do? You just stand up and talk. No, you give attention to that message that you're delivering in the reading, the exhortation, and the teaching. Number four is in verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Now, the gift that Timothy had was revealed to him, the text says, by prophecy. Or through prophetic utterance is another phrase that the translation uses. So there was a prophet or something who revealed something either to Timothy or about him. I don't know what it is. Paul just mentioned to Timothy, don't forget the gift that was mentioned to you through prophetic utterance. The gift was also accompanied by, or in accordance with, the laying on of the hands of the eldership. So there was some kind of divine revelation made to Timothy, and it also included the ceremony of laying on of hands. It's kind of a situation that goes back in Acts chapter 13 when Paul and Barnabas were separated for the work of the ministry. They were already separated. That determination had already been made. Paul and Barnabas, we're going to send you out on a missionary journey. But before you go, the elders at that place laid hands on them. So there was two separate events. We've already determined, Paul and Barnabas, you have a gift. You have a talent. We're designating you for this assignment. Before you go, we're going to lay our hands on you. So there was a ceremony or a ritual that was performed along with Timothy receiving this gift. So for preachers today, for me, don't neglect the talents that you have or the ability in the world. The gift that you have for preaching a ministry. So don't neglect that gift. Develop it. Number five, I only have six. Number five for the qualifications for a preaching minister, or to Timothy, if I'm making it personal. Verse 15, meditate on these things. Then he adds another phrase. So not only meditate, in other words, give it proper consideration, due deliberation. Meditate on these things, on the task at hand. Give yourself, the next phrase is, give yourself entirely to them, meaning take pains, attend to your task, be absorbed in it, in the preaching ministry. Be diligent, put in the effort. Don't be distracted in another work, but to the preaching ministry, the delivering of the message. Then an interesting phrase I mentioned before the text, that your progress may be evident to all. It needs to be progress in the preacher. It means that I'm supposed to display growth, development, advancement in some area of the preaching ministry, moving forward, getting better. Progress. And that, in the next phrase, be evident to all. So one doesn't want the brethren to think that he's stagnant or regressing. So Paul's saying this to Timothy, this young minister. As you're growing in this ministry, Timothy, and as I'm growing in the ministry, the work should be visible to all in the congregation. That you're progressing in the work. Job description. You want to see the preacher grow. The last one I had is in verse 16. And I have a summary of the things already said. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. So take heed first to yourself. So Brian, it would be properly focused on the way that you live. Give that proper attention. Take heed to yourself. Constant review of attitude and actions. You know, we do that as in public school teaching. Usually after we've completed an assignment or we've looked at our lesson plans, and then after we've made that presentation, many times a teacher will sit down just by themselves and go back over and ask themselves 20 questions. How did that go? Where were the shortcomings? What was successful? What really worked? You almost like a self-assessment. of that lesson that was presented. And I still do that. Take heed to yourself, and then to the doctrine. To doctrine. So now to focus on the teaching. Focus on the content of the message. Deliberate on what is being taught. I have a list of verses just on that word doctrine. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus. So he told Timothy, you stay here in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. What am I supposed to do? Make sure that we adhere to the doctrine and that those that stand in my absence teach no other doctrine. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing. Wow. So you take yourself away from the doctrine. You think you're pretty smart, but Paul's estimation, you don't know. You don't. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Preach the word. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires or their lust, they'll heap teachers to themselves. Teachers that will say things that they want to hear. So Paul says, Timothy, you preach the word. Because some people, they will not endure sound doctrine, but you endure sound doctrine. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, concerning the elders, says they are to hold fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So we need to have someone that stands in front of us that has the ability not only to exhort, but to convict those that contradict. Titus, and the last one, Titus 2, verse 1. Referring to even talking to Titus, but still would go for Timothy also. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Could add a seventh, because after all these things, the very last verses, continue in them. So everything that I've said, stay with it. Hang in there. Don't let up, even in the midst of being discouraged. Don't fall into an undisciplined life. Beware of the shortcuts, Paul was telling Timothy. Continue in them. And when you do that, you save both yourself and those who hear you. So it's a salvation issue. What the one who stands before you delivers. Save not only myself, but you who listen. So I would guess preaching isn't for everyone. I don't know if this makes you want to be a preacher, preaching minister, or what. When you look at that job description, I don't know. But I'll close with this one. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. Peter says, as each one has received a gift. Right? Everyone's received a gift. Minister to it, to one another. Whatever you have. Whatever that gift, talent, ability is. You use it in benevolence or service to one another. You don't hoard it or keep it. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then he changes a little bit and addresses me. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So here's six things that I just kind of listed. There's more throughout Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, but I just took this one section of text learned and teach those things that Paul has written. Second, don't let anyone despise your youth, or in other words, be an example. Number three, give attention to reading and exhortation and teaching. Number four, don't neglect your gift, minister. Number five, give yourself entirely to these things so that people can see your progress. There's always evaluation going on of preachers. You're welcome to that evaluation. Number six, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine.